Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another edition of 3GT, where three guys get together and theologize. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts and my dear friends, Kyle Borg and Barry York.
I didn't know you thought that highly of us, Scott.
I have a script that I'm following. Kyle sent that to me. I have to say that about Kyle. Otherwise, he doesn't feel good about himself. No, it is good to be with you guys again. And we were talking, and I was thinking and about my time with 3GT, and it came to mind that I have been doing this now for 2 years. It doesn't seem like it's possible that I've put up with Kyle for 2 years, but I have, and I'm a better man for it.
You are.
Kyle is great to work with.
That's also written in the script.
That is in the script as well.
Yes. And just remember that first episode you did with us was in a dorm room in Marion.
Indiana. I had to sit about 6 inches away from Kyle.
We had to share headphones. And
I did buy a pack of gum before that episode so my breath wouldn't smell bad.
And I appreciate that. Of course, he did take all the air out of the room.
Thank you for that.
To do.
I think you have another anniversary coming up too, don't you?
I do. As we are recording this, I am 4 days away from my 21st wedding anniversary. So I love you, sweetheart, if you're listening.
Congratulations.
Scott, I know I'm not supposed to ask the age of a woman, but you're not a woman. So have you been married half your life yet? How old are you?
I am 44. No, not quite.
Okay. The boomer, on the other hand, probably has been.
Oh, so. Yeah, easily.
Well, one of the things I've been noticing today is, not today, but just in general, is that there's a lot of foolishness that's taking place right now, whether it's people in the street talking or just on the internet, as you read the news, as you read things in social media. It just seems like the one thing that is lacking in our society is wisdom and discernment. And thankfully, guys, we have several books in the Bible that are devoted to that topic, the wisdom literature or the wisdom books. And I'm thinking in particular of Proverbs. And I'm wondering, are the Proverbs, in your opinion, spoken of enough, preached on enough, lived out enough in the church? And so I just wanted to start this episode off by asking you guys, have you guys preached from the Proverbs ever?
I would say, yes, I've preached from them. I have not preached through them, but I've done it a few different ways. When I preached a series out of James 3 that talks about the wisdom from above being pure and peaceable and so forth. And my approach was to go into the Proverbs and do a topical study on each one of those descriptions of biblical wisdom. And I found that to be personally edifying, and I trust it was helpful when I preached it. And then I've taken different themes and concepts from the Proverbs and preach from them on occasion. So yeah, it's important. One of my favorite memories was during a season of being a pastor and having monthly session meetings. We would have devotions together. And one of the things you want as elders is to have wisdom, and just reading a chapter of the Proverbs with one another. It wasn't preaching, but it was devotional. And I just remember that being a good time of really think. It seemed like every time one of the Proverbs or a couple of the Proverbs applied to situations that we were encountering.
Yeah, like Barry, I've never preached through Proverbs. Actually, my twin brother, who we've interviewed before on this podcast, is venturing this year to preach through Proverbs. And he's laughing because he just got through Proverbs chapter 9. And if you're familiar with the structure of Proverbs, 1 through 9 is pretty, there's a story being built, there's a narrative. And then chapter 10, probably running through chapter 30, you have hundreds of just these pithy sayings. So that I actually think, and maybe this is a topic for another time, but you know, Proverbs challenges, as we were talking about just before the episode started, it really challenges a narrow homiletic. Those who would define expositional preaching only in terms of working your way sequentially through a book of the Bible, Proverbs challenges that, I think, a great deal. It'd be very hard to know how to preach through Proverbs. But in my ministry, I have made use of Proverbs. I think it is... In some ways, it's often a neglected book. I think a full appreciation for it is really overlooked. And yet I think it is so mundanely practical that there is just a wealth of subjects and themes and topics that can be preached from Proverbs. And so I've made use of it. And I am trying actually in this calendar year to really renew an appreciation for Proverbs. It's been a bit of an area of just personal thought, study, reading, things like that. But I was always told in seminary, Barry, I don't know if you do this in your preaching classes, but our preaching professor always said, if you are crunched for time in preparing a sermon, go grab a proverb. And mm-hmm. He said, you know, they're so colorful, they're so descriptive, you have your illustrations really presented right there in a few words for you. And he said, just go to a proverb and preach the wisdom of it, and it's when you're in a pinch, that's a good place to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know that. So anybody in Kyle's congregation who hears a sermon now from the Proverbs will realize that Kyle has mismanaged his week, was in a pinch for a sermon, and had to, toss a Hail Mary through.
You know, Scott, the Proverbs tell us not to answer a fool according to his fault. That's all that needs to be said about that.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's always good to get a preacher's perspective. But Barry, I wanted to kind of take a tangent here for a second. You talked about the devotions that the session did back in Kokomo, going through the Proverbs. What benefit is there in going through the Proverbs like that? Is there a benefit for elders to really take time and study these out and think through them? I mean, are they, and obviously they're still applicable today, but I mean, it seems like things are so much more complicated now than they were back in the times when the Proverbs were written. I mean, what benefit is it to study through these?
Well, as I mentioned, it seemed like there was always relevance. So we were dealing with shepherding cases, and I remember, you know, as Kyle's alluded to, the first part of almost the first third of Proverbs is really warning young men against the sin of adultery and seeking wisdom, really making wisdom your wife, so to speak. And I just recall that we were in the midst of some cases involving immorality and those types of issues. We had people we were shepherding with financial problems, relational problems, and there was just always, it seems like, some proverbs that were very applicable. Now, we didn't do an in-depth study of the Proverbs. It was more of a reading and meditation time as we did our devotions together, but I just found that extremely valuable.
And you didn't address this question to me, Scott, so feel free to just mute me. Cancel me. I know you love the cancel culture, so cancel me if you need to. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about that and Barry's practice, and maybe I'll have to adopt it, is that, now hear me out on this, you know, the very structure of Proverbs, in some ways, if I can say this in a qualified sense, really commends itself, especially to men. Proverbs, so much of it is structured, especially that earlier portion, as a father instructing his son. And that is not to say that women are not to walk in wisdom. They absolutely are. Wisdom is to be a defining characteristic of every Christian. But it is interesting that even in the structure of Proverbs, the father speaks wisdom to his son. And I think it's in Proverbs chapter 2 or Proverbs 4 where the father says, I also learned this from my father. There's this idea of this relationship where the father is speaking wisdom to his son that so that his son may grow up and speak wisdom in turn to his son. And yes, the Proverbs commend to us the instruction and the wisdom of a mother, but even the way that it's structured, the mother's wisdom is kind of held up in the light of the father's wisdom, whereas the father's wisdom is held up to God himself. And you see there some of that creation order, I think, that even Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 11. And so I think, you know, talk about relevance. I think if men in the church, beginning with the elders, were men very well versed in Proverbs, who understood it, knew what it meant, how to apply these things, I think the church in our day and age would really flourish under that.
I really agree with that. And it is a book of a father written to a son who is clearly on the verge of manhood or early manhood, because he's really, again, speaking to him what probably on that young man's mind, which is women. And he upholds before his son, you know, really life is about which woman you're going to pursue. Is it, you know, the wise woman, woman wisdom, or lady folly? And if you follow the one, you're going to be in a devastating place. And all through those early chapters, he just really wants his son to listen to him, just repeatedly, like chapter 4, verse 1, hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight. And that's almost a refrain, that type of message. Just listen to me, son. Give me your heart. Give me your understanding. Listen to me, because I want to guide you on wisdom's path. And it's been my pastoral experience is that's exactly what young men need, is that they need wisdom. They need to be seeking wisdom. And too many of our young men are seeking the pleasures and the folly and the foolishness of this world. And so this is such a needed book in our particular day and age.
And with that, Barry, you know, and that's the, you know, I love the way that you worded that, and I'm glad you read that, because young men in seeking wisdom, they need to learn how to listen.
Yeah.
That is so key. And I think one of the devastating things, to be critical somewhat, is, you know, are there men of wisdom in our churches who, you know, whether they're biological fathers, or one of the blessings of Proverbs is the father views his son not merely as his biological offspring, but his spiritual offspring. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, young men, and I think the church is filled with foolish young men. Myself probably having been numbered among them, maybe still areas of folly. But we need wise men who are able to say, listen to me. You know, let me speak to you words of understanding and instruction. And so it really is a call to men, young and old.
Yes, as a new Christian, I was at a camp for a month that really stressed scripture memory. I just remember Proverbs 23:12 being impressed upon me, apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. And I just realized how my ear wasn't inclined that way. And you have to really make a sincere application to listen to people who are spiritually mature and to really respect them and to be guided by them as they teach you in the ways of the Lord. And when you don't do that, it's to your spiritual detriment and even ruin. So it's just such an important thing you're stressing there, Kyle.
And Ruben is right. Scott, I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep going on that.
That's okay. Keep going.
You know, and maybe we'll get into a definition of wisdom, but to the ruin is right, because Proverbs is not playing around. You know, when Barry, you already used, you know, the graphic image that is again and again presented is Lady Wisdom and the adulterous foolishness. And when Proverbs sets before us wisdom and folly, it's doing nothing short than setting before us life and death. It's setting before us the glories of the presence of God compared to, you know, you think of Proverbs chapter 7, Lady Folly, the adulterous woman, her way leads to Sheol. It leads to the pit. You know, Proverbs could not take itself more seriously, if I can put it that way. And we need a generation in the church. We need a generation of young men and old men to see that truly this is the wisdom is the path of blessing. There's only blessing to be had in the path of wisdom. There's only ruin and destruction in the path of folly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the Proverbs says there is a way that seems right to man, but its way is the end of death. Or its end is the way of death, sorry. That you think you know the right path, but you're not listening, and it leads to ruin and death. So a lot of warnings in the Proverbs.
Well, Kyle, I'll take the debate, I guess. You said maybe we'll have a definition of wisdom. What is that definition, Kyle? I'll put that back on you. It seems
being
like you wanted
smart. To being smart. So, I mean, you know, there's some good dictionary definitions of wisdom. You know, I think even, you know, if you want to think in the categories of common grace, you know, wisdom is the idea of skillful living, is the way the philosophers would often talk about it.
But is that what the Proverbs are talking about? What is biblical wisdom?
So if we start,
Kyle.
Oh, I can't handle it. This is not a safe space for me. I'm feeling triggered, you guys. This is trauma. They need something for recovering podcast trauma, because that's my life. So I think let me just use as a launching pad that basic definition that wisdom is skillful living, right? It's more than knowledge. It's people talk about it as knowledge applied, things like that. I think that a good biblical definition of wisdom, because of course, at the end of the day, we need a distinctly Christian definition. And that is what I often tell people, just in a very simple sense, biblical wisdom is living skillfully by God's law applied to the various circumstances of life. And that's really what you see in the book of Proverbs. You know, you see the way in which the law of God, which is summarized for us in the Ten Commandments, is so in such a nuanced way applied to different situations. Mm-hmm. And to live skillfully by that, to know in this given circumstance or in this given situation, here's what I should do. And you know, one of the wonderful things about the character of wisdom is that it's not always a one-size-fits-all. And so out of one side of the wise king's mouth, you hear, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And then in another one, answer the fool according to his folly. Wisdom is learning how to skillfully live by God's word in those different circumstances, applying the law of God in an appropriate way. That's how I would define it, but I'm sure that the reverend and esteemed professor might have a better one.
Well, I want to add a phrase to it that it could sound like I'm trying to, you know, show you how pious I am, but I would say I really agree with your definition, and I know you would agree with what I'm getting ready to say. And I'd probably just add the phrase as Jesus did. Because we see in the life of the Lord someone who's, as he said, someone greater than Solomon is here, and he's always just showing such wisdom in how he conducts himself with people and all the, and he's applying the law, just like Kyle said, whether it's his temptations in the wilderness or he's walking through picking grain on the Lord's day and gets the Pharisees going at him, and he uses the word of God to counter that. So he's just always taking God's word and applying it just perfectly in every situation. And so he's our example of it.
I think I'll agree with that. So I can't argue. But I do, you know, that begins, I think, an important aspect of biblical wisdom is that this is not something that comes automatically. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm wise because I've got academic credentials. Some of the most foolish people in the world are those who are scholars and experts. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just wise by age. And age might bring experience, but there are plenty of foolish old people and elderly people, right? The idea is that this wisdom is lived out of fellowship and union with Christ. It's why, again and again in the Proverbs, the command is seek it, seek it, seek it, seek it. It doesn't come automatically. It comes to us, you know, every nugget of wisdom comes to us out of the root of Jesus Christ. And it comes as a result that he has purchased for his people, he has purchased wisdom to be a benefit to us. And so you cannot divorce it from Jesus. Either the efficacy of Christ's death and resurrection, mm-hmm. the example of Jesus Christ in the way in which he lived, so to be distinctly Christian, you need to add the Christological aspect.
Yeah, with his help, even, you could say, because obviously there are situations in the Proverbs where we're being corrected in a way that Jesus was not. And so it is that union with him that's so important, Kyle.
Well, I do appreciate that definition, excuse me, and that, clear thought on what wisdom is. How do you guys see wisdom lacking, particularly in the leadership of the church today? And I'm not asking you guys to get specific, but in what ways have you seen a lack of wisdom demonstrated, and not just in our denomination, not just in the Reformed world, but the church wide? How have you seen that?
Looking at it right now.
Well, I think at least one easy target to go after is doing in some ways what we are doing now, looking at ourselves, which is the Proverbs do say, in the presence of many words, sin is not absent. So there's a lot of words being spoken these days through podcasts, blogging, Twitter, Facebook. And I think I do see it's very easy to tweet something out or get caught up in conversations that just aren't, when you really take an objective look at it, aren't edifying, aren't properly representing the Lord, aren't treating people the way that the Lord would have us treat people as we speak about them. So I think that's at least one area I see wisdom lacking.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the most evident places for me personally. I remember a number of years ago, I just remembered, but here in Winchester, I preached a series on wisdom for your mouth from Proverbs, where I just addressed different proverbs that talk about how is the tongue to be used. You could translate that into how should your fingers be used online and things like that. And I see a tremendous amount of folly, even within some of our circles. You know, this is not just to be finger pointing, but, you know, the Proverbs talk about using the tongue as a tree of life, to bring life, and the ability of the tongue to bring death. Mm-hmm. And again, the Proverbs can't take themselves more seriously. Every word you speak can either offer life to those who are listening, or it kills them. And we need to think about that. You know, I think about in our day and age, with a lot of platform building, with a lot of, you know, wanting to align ourselves with this group, that movement, you know, I think about the Proverbs that speak to reputation, that a good name is worth more than gold and worth more than riches. And I've often just thought about, you know, it is not man-pleasing to desire and maintain a good reputation. It's biblical wisdom. And that begins, especially with the leadership in the church, to think about what is, you know, elders are required to have a good reputation with outsiders. And as Christians, wisdom binds us all to this. And so, you know, are people in the church concerned about that? Are they concerned about their reputations individually? Are they concerned about the reputation of their congregation? Things like that. So I think there's just so much. You know, you think about the Proverbs, you think about how often the Proverbs talks about money and the making of wealth and the keeping of wealth and, you know, unlawful wealth making and lawful wealth making. And sometimes I just want to, you know, I look at my heart first, but I'm a pastor. So I think too of people in my church, and especially young people, you know, do you understand this? As you get ready to go out into the world, as you get out, you know, ready to be paying your own bills, to be going to college, are you actually thinking about what the Proverbs say about that and what the Proverbs say about the right use and the right accumulation of money and wealth and the right use of it? So I think I saw once somebody indexed the themes of Proverbs, and there was like more than 100 subjects that are covered in Proverbs. And so many of those we could dwell on, but those are some areas. Where words are many, sin is not absent. So
You're fine.
I'm going to regret tonight.
No. And I appreciate what you're saying, Kyle, because as I read through the Proverbs, it seems like they're so applicable even to today. I mean, you know, you mentioned about people on social media not guarding their words. You know, it's so easy for us to spout off and to be quick and give a quick, harsh answer, especially online when we don't have to be face-to-face with the person that we're speaking to. It's so easy to speak an angry word, a harsh word, which just stirs up strife. And that's what I have found mostly what happens on social media is strife is just stirred up. There's no purpose of coming together, reconciliation. It's all about finger pointing and strife, and a lot could be learned from the Proverbs.
I was just reflecting, because I knew we were going to talk about this subject today. This isn't one I had memorized, but just as I was thinking about the tongue and looking at some of the Proverbs, this one just really stood out to me. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing, Proverbs 12:18. And I think that just speaks to right what you're saying, Scott, that it's so easy. I think it was Nathan Bingham years ago wrote a article that just always stuck with me. The title of the article was "Pixels Are People," and he was basically saying that when you're on the internet, it's easy to dehumanize or distance yourself from the people that you're talking about or writing to or whatever it may be. And a lot of times you see behaviors online that if the people were in the room together, they wouldn't act that way. And how important it is to remember that if I'm speaking to someone on a Facebook wall or wherever, there's a real person there. And is my tongue being used as a sword in a wrong manner, where, you know, you're just thrusting to cut, or am I trying to speak wisdom and healing into situations? And this is just such an important aspect of our Christian life. There are times for battles, but, you know, in my experience, if you're going to really stand against someone, you really need to be doing that face to face in proper settings. If it's in the church, and, you know, whether it's session meetings or church courts or whatever, rather than doing a lot of battling online, because it's just not effective. It's important to get thoughts out and theology out and all those types of things, but to really deal with someone, you're going to have to deal with them face to face.
You know, Barry, I say make pamphlet wars great again. Barry, do you have, or Scott, I'm not meaning to hijack this from you, Scott, but do you guys have a favorite proverb?
Well, that's funny. I was going to ask the same question. Oh, our time is almost
step on your toes. My bad.
No, it's okay.
Don't yell.
You know,
2 years of this, 2 years of this,
2 years, two long, hard years, long. And, or, you know, anyway, yeah, but yeah, I do. I have several favorite proverbs. Kyle, you've quoted one, which, you know, where words are many, transgressions abound. And I mean, that's something in my line of work. The people who are criminals love to talk because they're trying to tell you a story. And it's so evident that people who just cannot stop talking are trying to hide stuff, and it just comes out. And I'm not saying that's not always the case, but a lot of times when especially detectives are interviewing a suspect, they'll just let them talk, because they'll talk themselves into circles and into trouble. And so it's a very relevant saying, in my opinion, that where words are many, transgression abounds. And, mm-hmm. you know, I see that every day in my work. Mm-hmm. So I do like that one.
I think chapter one, just the simple one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just that if we're going to be seeking wisdom, it starts with really fearing God and knowing that he wants us. He's the fount of all wisdom. Christ has become our wisdom, and that we need to really be seeking him if we desire that wisdom. A chapter that I go to a lot, we in our congregation when I was pastoring, it was one of the chapters that we memorized in our scripture memory program with the kids. And I still have fond memories of some of the ladies in the church preparing picture books that pictured each proverb as you turned the page with cutouts from magazines and cartoons and things. And it's Proverbs 22. And I, you know, there's just a lot of them there that I go to a lot. But the very first one, a good name is more desirable than great riches, to be esteemed as better than silver or gold. You were talking earlier, Kyle, about our reputation, and an elder is to maintain a good reputation, both inside and outside the church. That doesn't mean he's trying to build his social platform like you know, we were discussing, but rather that he is conducting himself with wisdom and grace toward those that he encounters. And I just think that's really so important for pastors and elders to keep in mind as they're thinking about what they're saying, how they're using their tongue. So that one sticks with me quite a bit.
Yeah, that one sticks with me. Scott, the one that you brought up is also one that sticks with me. I think one of the most colorful proverbs that I've always enjoyed is Proverbs 17:12. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. One, it's just very graphic and very, you know, you can imagine if you've ever hiked through Yellowstone, this constant fear that you're going to come across a she-bear robbed of her cubs. But, you know, just the point there of staying far away from a sinner, walking freely in the paths of sin, you know, and choosing the way of folly, and how dangerous it is to even come and encounter a sinner who loves their sin. So that's been a proverb that's always kind of just hung in the back of my memory or in my mind as I think about it.
Yeah. And one other one, given the nature of what I am celebrating this week, what I love, Proverbs 19:14, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Amen.
Boring.
Let the records show I said amen, honey.
Yes.
And Kyle said boring.
Wait, no, who said amen? I didn't say boring. Who was that? Where did that voice come from? I don't know.
No, but you know, there's so much that we could talk about. I mean, we've only mentioned just one or two proverbs each that we really like. And I'm sure that if you're like me, you could speak of, you know, many, many different proverbs that speak to you in a different way or in different situations, but we'll have to save those for a different day as we are running out of time. And I am trying to keep the words to a minimum so that the transgressions remain at a minimum as well. I do not want to offend the sensitive among us.
Too late.
Names, Kyle. But,
too late. So.
Well, do you guys have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just want to throw out one quick thing is that the Proverbs are so important in parenting. I mean, we've already mentioned that he was trying to address his son, but just using the Proverbs, I just think of my wife. She often just throws out a proverb as she's speaking to the children about a situation. I just think that's so important.
The one that we refer, the constant refrain in our home is let another praise you. But
I like to use the one where if you roll your eyes at your parents, you're going to get your eyes picked out by the ravens.
Wow. Well, just when I was not too sure about my own parenting skills, you make me feel better. My encouragement would be people of wisdom. This is our glorious inheritance as Christians. Be to our listeners and to us as well, be people who dig your roots very deeply in this book. It is hard. It is very challenging. You read the commentaries, you begin to see just how challenging this book is. But obviously it's not wasted time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those are great words. It is a book well worth spending a lot of your time in. Even reading it daily along with other books of the Bible is very helpful. And as you dig deeper into it, it speaks into more and more areas of your life. But with that, I think we'll bring this episode to an end. We would encourage you as listeners to seek wisdom, to flee folly. We are glad you joined us. We're not sure which you are, if you're actually seeking wisdom and listening to us, but we hope we've imparted some. We do enjoy your feedback, and yes, we are coming to an end, Kyle. I will wrap this up. But we thank you for joining us, and we hope you join us again next time on 3GT.